Good morning. It's the 13th of February, a Monday. Joining us this morning is Mr. Michael Davies Hughes from Humboldt County Office of Education and expert cyclone fence repairer.
Is that right?
Good morning.
Oh, I haven't had that title bestowed upon me in recent memory.
It's an earned title.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah.
The 13th of February. Got to give a shout out to my youngest daughter, Nia.
Birthday?
It's her birthday today. She's
she's
20 today. So one less teenager in the house. One to go.
One less, yes.
One to go.
Well, pretty soon you'll have grandkids running around. So.
Oh, not pretty soon. Yeah, let's wait on that.
You don't think so? Yeah, 5 years.
No comment.
You're not going to go five, huh? How about 10?
Maybe.
Okay, there you go. Are you ready for a why do we say that?
Let's do it.
Grandpa-to-be.
Oh, please.
What? Isn't that something everybody aspires to? That has kids?
Not today. Not today.
Well, okay. Now, see, you're coming at it from a teacher's perspective, not a parent's perspective.
That's right.
Knock it off. This is safe territory. Why do we say we rehash something?
Oh, my gosh. The rehash.
Yes.
Has nothing to do with morning potatoes, does it?
No, but it has something to do with England.
It does. Well, God bless the king. Hash.
That only took you a minute and a half.
Oh, I'm stumped on this one.
Alrighty. English squires, long famous for their hearty appetites, were depicted with ridicule in the classic novel Tom Jones. Many of these folks wasted as much meat as they ate, but artisans and craftsmen and others tried never to throw away food. At a middle-class inn where guests were expecting meat on the table, the landlord couldn't afford to toss away his shoulder after the choice slices were cut from it. So cooks often made hash from leftovers, and guests usually complained. If they pushed hash aside, they were likely to get it the following day in the form of meatloaf. Such a warmed-over dish, scornfully dubbed rehash, was served frequently. So many people ate it, willingly or reluctantly, that we've expanded the meaning of its name. We now use it not just for a label of leftover food, but to designate a rebate or speech in which the old arguments are trotted back out, thinly disguised as new words.
Mm-hmm.
So you were close. You just didn't want to cross the bridge.
I'd be stopped by the Border Patrol, you know, between England and Wales.
Oh, I was thinking the sheriff, but that's okay.
We don't have sheriffs back in the UK.
What do they have? Bobbies?
We have constables.
Constables?
Yeah,
okay.
Bobbies. I've got to tell you, we had, in my hometown, small town, Crickieth, 1,500 people, we had one part-time Bobby, and he drove around in a little 1970s-era Mini Clubman, which had about a 950cc engine in it. And I'm thinking, if somebody escapes.
If there actually was an event.
Really, you know, we would not be able to chase that person down in a Mini Clubman. I think I could ride my bike faster than that.
See him pulling away as he's running away from the... Yeah, that's right. And they don't have weapons, right?
No, only special forces do. So
Unless he's really, really good with a lariat?
Well, you know what the saying is for the British police.
You can run, but you can't hide?
Is stop, or I'll tell you to stop again.
Oh. Yeah, or I'll scream louder. all that fun stuff, and you brought it over here.
Yeah, you know, here's
for our
another
enjoyment and fun, huh?
I know. Now we've got on a tangent here this morning. So... Yeah, an interesting term. You know, speed bumps in the United Kingdom are known as sleeping policemen. Yeah.
Oh.
Put that in your say it book.
I was thinking slow natives, but that's okay.
Sleeping policemen. Yeah, because it's a way of slowing people down.
Right.
And obeying the law, right? You know, slowing people down, so sleeping policemen.
But it wasn't a reference to their work schedule or their practices?
Well, I can't comment on that because I would...
Because you have friends who are cops?
Well, and I would like next time to visit that I wouldn't be, you know, detained at the airport.
Exampled. That's got to be intriguing to hear some of the words from the old country and how they're being used here.
Yeah.
Differently.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And even spelled differently. So, you know, there's the British way of saying, of spelling
like RE instead of ER?
That's right. Yeah. Your meter and center and theater. So, yeah.
But not her. That wouldn't make any sense, HRE. Sounds like an acronym for an educational system. Mm.
Mm. We have enough acronyms in the educational system. Don't need any more in.
How long does it take somebody to figure out the jargon?
It takes a long time, and that's one of the things that, you know, when we're thinking about, when we have parents come in to school, you know, they're coming in for a meeting, we've got to be careful about using that educational jargon, because when we want to try to be inclusive and we want people to feel comfortable and understand what we're talking about, say the whole thing, right? We say that to the kids, you know, say the whole thing. Because if you think about it, nowadays, because when I were a lad, texting, right? When kids text one another,
the bane of
they don't use complete sentences, right? Because the matter is, let's get the information out. I can't even figure out
all the emojis.
No.
I mean, there's so many, right? So what's the difference between this one and that one?
Sometimes don't even need words. Just emojis are enough to tell
the
tale.
Well, yeah, the thumbs up one is pretty commonplace.
Oh, Brian, they've come a long way since then.
Well, I know. There are others in that same genre that periodically will be employed. Probably not in mixed company, however.
No, and probably not for a Monday morning talk show radio.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least not during the non-commercial break portions of that program.
Yeah. Indeed.
Mm-hmm. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Michael Davies Hughes from the County of Humboldt's Superintendent of Schools. What's out there? What's causing discussion right now?
Yeah.
I mean, we set budget aside because, you know, that's more you guys at the end of the tail rather than being able to have any influence. What are parents talking to you about, or school boards talking to you about, or principals out there? Are there any new challenges that are surfacing this year?
Yeah, I think that most of the challenges are challenges that we have had over the past 3 years, you know. So COVID, coming out of COVID, staffing shortages, something that every school district is dealing with, especially in those areas of hard-to-fill positions. So we're talking about services around special education, school psychologists, speech and language therapists, occupational therapists, those difficult-to-fill positions. That is certainly a struggle. On the student side of things, you know, it's just coming still dealing with some of the social-emotional, what we would call artifacts that are left over from COVID, you know, especially with the younger students who are struggling with some of those relational aspects of their school, you know, how to get along with others, how to play well with others, interacting with others.
Being part of a community.
That's
interesting. So were I'm sure you folks have delved into some of these specific situations. Is it from being isolated? Is it from being paranoid? Is it the kids? Is it their parents? Is it their experiences?
For some, we all kind of went
first couple of days of school, and then
right.
you realized everybody in the classroom was kind of sort of as weird as you were, so it kind of flowed, and you went, oh, okay, and you move on, and there's that normal anxiety, but this sounds like it's way more than just
It seems to be, and maybe it's, you know, COVID kind of illuminated things were already in existence, some of the social-emotional trauma that some of the students are experiencing. There just seems to be an increase in that, and it's just harder to get, I don't say back to normal, but to a place where there's some harmony and community within our schools. And that's something that is being addressed, certainly at the school level and the district level. We have these community school grants that are out there right now, that the majority actually of our school districts in Humboldt County have community school grants. And when we think of a community school in a traditional sense, we think about a school like our ERC here in Eureka.
Like Blue Ox. It was a community school.
Yeah.
You know, that concept, it's a little bit different, but there's still the teaching going on.
Right. So these are actually for students. Community schools are traditionally for students who have been either expelled from their regular school, or that things are not working out well and there are some issues, behavior mostly. When these community schools that we have grants for now is really about this idea of building community within the school. Right, the true word community. So
it's like more carnivals and extracurricular things.
Well, not necessarily carnivals, but really what I was talking about earlier, bringing kids together, bringing families into the fold, making the school more of a community hub, meeting the needs of students and families in a multitude of different ways, and not just talking about academics. Several schools have what's called wellness centers in them, right? So a place where a student can come and they may be able to see a counselor. They may be able to see a school social worker. They may be able to see a nurse, you know, all in kind of one place. And it's not a place where students will go, would necessarily get sent to, but it's more of that place where...
Or triage.
Well, and
first level, and then if additional services are needed or suggested, then they kind of get pointed.
Yeah,
in
and really
those areas.
A place to listen to kids. You know, we as adults, we tend to think that we know what's best for kids, right? And well, that's our traditional role, right? As adults, we have more experience, we have more wisdom. Well, present company accepted, but.
Thanks.
I was talking about myself, not you.
Sure.
But really, truly to understand the students, where they're coming from, we need to be listening. And that's something that we tend not to do enough of.
Well, and I would think that kids would tend to create a shell around themselves as a protective mode also.
Yeah.
So you've got someone not listening. Tending not to listen, someone tending not to talk, and you wonder why there's a breakdown and someone feels isolated.
Right.
I mean, it would seem to be a logical outcome of that.
Yeah, and I think that some parents are also struggling with just knowing how to help their students. And I don't mean in the homework sense, but helping them navigate all of these things that are going on in society.
Just being a parent.
Being a parent. It's tough to be a parent.
Well, and that's...
Or a guardian, or a grandparent, you know, who are raising students. Right?
Depending on how old your kids are.
Yeah.
You brought that one up yourself.
I did, didn't I?
Yes, very good. And smooth, too. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Stand by playback.
And now,
live.
Real Red Meat Radio.
Are you
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back talking shop. Oh, I could say grandpa to be, but I won't. Michael Davies Hughes from the Humboldt County Office of Education.
Yes. That's right. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you for the reminder.
The enthusiasm rears its ugly head. Yes. So with some of these challenges that are out there that are now in the classrooms and... Yeah, in the old days, it was PTA. It was parent conference. It was carnivals. It was back to school nights. And that's kind of how the community interacted with the schools. But the school function was entirely different than what it is now. And the function was different.
Right.
And you didn't have all the social media stuff. I mean, if there was an issue, you'd go face to face.
Yeah.
And at least you could figure that out, whether it was spit wads or notes being passed back and forth. And now it's totally different. How do you establish an environment that is that safe that you were talking about?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, throwing money at it sounds great, but I don't think that that's the solution.
Yeah. You know, over the past several months, as a county office, we've been engaged with a research lab at MIT. In fact, I was over in Boston about 3 weeks ago. It's called the Systems Awareness Lab.
I don't hear the accent.
Well, the Welsh accent and the Bostonian, is that what it is? Bostonian accent? They're not that far removed. In fact, I was
you can't argue your way into a Boston accent.
I was talking to my mom, actually, before I went to Boston, and she said, well, make sure you bring the tea for them.
Oh, good.
I said, Mom.
Yeah. And I'll send you some chowder, too.
Oh, goodness me. Anyway, so went over there to just fascinating. It's fascinating work that they're engaged with around this compassion. It's what's called compassionate systems awareness, which is an approach to building, sustaining, and enhancing relationships in schools. Really kind of taking care of our kids in a more holistic way, not just about academics. And there were some interesting researchers that I listened to. One of them was about the benefits of mindfulness. Now, mindfulness is really taking some time to be able to really get in tune with and giving you some space and some quiet to kind of get in tune with your inner self, right? And it sounds kind of, you know, fluffy and soft.
A little zen.
Yeah. But the reality is that kind of research is showing that these things are, taking time to do that really helps students understand, and adults, understand and navigate these complexities that we have in society.
Pace of life related or... More topic related.
Stressors, right? Where we're constantly bombarded by stressors and we don't realize it, but compounded, they have a pretty significant effect on our mental health, right? And so mindfulness is a way of being able to pause, take some space and some time that can actually be this mindfulness, these exercises and mindfulness can be a buffering and a protective factor. And it's been shown in the part of the brain called the amygdala. Amygdala?
Amygdala.
So when students are engaged in these mindfulness activities, that amygdala fires off, and it actually can provide this kind of protective and soothing experience for a child. And if you think about what that could do to a student at school who may be coming in, has had a rough morning, you know, things were not going well at home. You know, we know that students don't all come in ready to sit down.
Test coming up, paper forgot. Just keep piling on.
You take a few minutes to just provide that space for a student.
Quiet time.
It's quiet time, but it's focused, right? It's not just, it's actually to get rid of all those distractions. Because you know how it is when you've got some quiet time? It's kind of like sustained silent reading. Not everybody's reading.
True, but it gives the opportunity.
It does.
For that, rather than just kind of going full out all the time, and at the end of the day, you're just absolutely run over.
Yeah. And a teacher in the classroom is actually facilitating this mindfulness experience.
Okay, so it's not just quiet solo. It's quiet directed.
It is, facilitated. And so it just gives a great way of students just pausing, and we need to provide students space for that, because they are bombarded, like I said, all day long with things that can be stressors, right? I mean, even knowing how to think about a student in middle school or high school or even elementary school who's trying to navigate how do I interact with my peers, how do I form friendships, those kinds of things can be what seems like natural, they can be pretty stressful, right?
Well, and if there has been a separation, perhaps those natural skills have not been developed.
Yeah.
I mean, and that, it's easy to blame COVID, but I would suspect if you went back 5 or 10 years, you'd be seeing the start of a lot of this stuff at that point. Maybe accelerated during the COVID period, or now with everything being so heightened. You know, either you're with me or against me kind of thing.
Right.
It would be interesting. I mean, just rumbling here. Not rambling, rumbling.
I thought I heard a distant thunder.
Yeah. Debate class. If everybody had to take debate, so they would have to be able to argue both sides of an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Pick a current issue, doesn't matter what it is, and be able to argue both sides. It would be interesting. Boy, how's this for weird? Okay, here's the topic, gang. Now we do research for 2 days. On Wednesday, we're going to blind draw what side you get to debate.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll have that for 3 days. Have fun.
Yeah. Well, those things are happening. Those kinds of exercises are happening.
To kind of wrap around and be able to communicate and to think and see the other side so that you don't get that isolated element of it.
Right.
Kind of like what you're talking about. It might add a little bit of stress on the day that you're drawn. But that quiet time, I think, is something that it would be interesting.
Yeah.
And it's probably something that has been overlooked for a very long time.
It is. We can find a lot in that quiet kind of silence. And there's a book by Susan Scott called Fierce Conversations. And fierce being, you know, these honest, open, transparent conversations. It's not about, you know, anything to do with violence or anything
not
like that.
Not physical.
But one of the things that she says is let silence do the heavy lifting. Think about that is we try to fill the space, especially on radio, right? Silence is deadly, but you know, in our lives, silence sometimes, we need to just hold that silence. That can do a lot of that heavy lifting rather than trying to fill the space. And our students, you know, they're bombarded externally by these stimuli, and they're bombarding out too. You think about the texting or the posting or, you know, it's always this constant movement, and the brain just needs some time to just take a little time out.
I was not ever a really huge fan of Sally Jesse Raphael when she had a radio show, but she had one thing that is stuck in my mind, 25, 30 years, whatever it is a lot of people will have certain language idioms, cliches, and they'll use that to buy time as they're thinking about something.
Yeah.
Well, what I really meant to say was, which is one of my pet peeves, because that means whatever they said before, they really didn't mean. Right? Or honestly, so you were lying before.
That's right.
Et cetera, et cetera. Where silence provides the same thing, but it's not throwing out false information. But as you said, nature abhors a vacuum.
Yeah.
And most people feel uncomfortable with silence instead of using that as a reflective moment.
That's right.
Before saying something wrong. Not that that slows me up in saying things wrong, but for most, you know, that time just to kind of gather your thought. It's just kind of interesting how
people
respond.
If you think about where silence is used the most, other than when you're by yourself, is in those relationships where you have a deep relationship with somebody, you know, spouse, partner, son, daughter, where you don't need to fill that space with words, where just being in the other person's company actually deepens the relationship.
Yeah, in the presence of.
Right.
And you don't have to fill
yeah.
everything.
Right.
Of course, you don't want to extend that for too long.
Well, you certainly don't, and certainly not on a radio show,
no,
right?
No, that would be, yes.
We call it talk radio, yeah, not yeah. silence radio.
Yeah. Actually, we call it a commercial break.
KINS,
News and Information Time.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:51, final few moments with Mr. Michael Davies-Husey. Now, it's Mr. just because you're about to leave, and I don't want you to have to take your cane and walk out.
Well, I always appreciated when I was an assistant principal at a middle school. When I first started my administrative career, you know, I deal with discipline, right? And students wouldn't always be happy with me because I would be imparting this, gifting this, whatever the consequences was. And I still felt a level of respect because no matter what awful words were written about me on the bathroom walls, it always had Mr. DH is a blank. So there is a certain level of decorum and respect that goes along with that Mr. So thank you for that, Brian.
If folks are interested in what you got or were exposed to at MIT.
Yes.
Is it too early yet to see some of that information? Because I would think that this is basic communication, basic people skills
yeah.
stuff. This isn't education. This is people stuff.
It is, and it's being used in our schools right now.
Is it on websites, or can it be shared? Are there handouts or flyers or anything?
Absolutely, yes. In fact, you kind of prompted me to go back to the county office and see if we've got something already on the website, and if not, to get something up there.
Not like you had anything else to do other than
ideas
from here.
This is the
huh?
important stuff. This is yeah. not the transactional stuff. This is the transformational stuff.
This is the good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Well, double check for typos. See everybody tomorrow.